ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
In the world of studies, there is the illusion of that number, the perfectional stage of samadhi. Then one has achieved the stage of samadhi, God has been perfect. That was what we discussed last week. In science, that is actually the eighth stage of Ashtanga Yoga. In that stage, God has been perfect. So, today we are going ahead on session number 24, 25, 26, 27, 28. All these verses are talking about coming to perfection. How can one achieve that stage of samadhi? How can one come to that stage? So here Krishna is telling the procedure for that. How one should, while performing meditation, how should one be very careful in order to make sure that one gradually comes to the point of meditation. So we will read question 24. Tanishtayena yoktavyo yogo nirvinna chetata sankalpattavavantama tattva sarvana seshatah manachaitendriya gramam vijnanya samantatah. One should engage oneself in the practice of yoga with determination and faith, and not be deviated from the path. One should abandon, without exception, all material desires, born of mental speculation, and thus control all the senses on all sides by the mind. Okay, here first Krishna says, Tanishchayena yoktavyo yogo anirvinna chetasa. Without any deviation, one should engage in the practice of yoga for perfection. Whether it is Jnana Yoga or Karma Yoga or Jnana Yoga or Bhakti Yoga. Here, for any practitioner of yoga, it is said that one should engage the Nishchayena Yoktavyo. With full determination, one should engage in the path of yoga. Actually, such perfection cannot be achieved very easily because it demands tremendous amount of faith and determination. It takes a long time for one to come to the stage of developing that amount of faith and determination. Because material life or spiritual life, both are certainly not a bed of roses. But material life, no matter how much you work hard and how much you separate the problem, ultimately it is a washing up problem, and you are going to again and again be facing similar situations life after life. There is no end to that. But in spiritual life, difficulties, if tolerated and one makes a systematic endeavor in spiritual life, you can arrive at a stage where one can put an end to all the suffering. That is the difference between material endeavor and spiritual endeavor. While instantly trying and developing faith and determination in spiritual life, gradually one goes higher and higher. The stage where one can come to the end of all material existence and come back to the kingdom of God. So, before these verses, like 2 verses, 24 and 25 and 26. These 3 verses are very important for us aspiring contemplation. How does we come to the point of getting fixed determination? Because without developing a strong faith in the process, one cannot get determination. Is it not? First of all, it's your faith in what you are doing. So there is sadhana and there is sadhya. Sadhya means the end result of what we practice. And sadhana is the practice itself. So one should have a firm faith in both sadhana and sadhya. Only then this faith will gradually turn into determination. Otherwise we cannot be determined. It's very easy to understand. That's why if you don't know where to take a turn to come to Atharva, from the eternal state of. If you are doubtful, But if you are very fast in your reason, in final zero, you won't be. Because you are doubtful. Wherever there is an element of doubt, then there is no confidence. There is no faith, there is no determination. All those things are lacking. So one has to kill the demon of doubt, that's the first thing in spiritual life. So ignorance should be destroyed, that's not the knowledge. When ignorance is destroyed, then with knowledge, then one develops more faith, and when the faith develops, then there is determination. So when the determination is developed, the determination of a yogi becomes so strong and so steady that it may even pass through several lifetimes. For example, many of us are practicing Krishna consciousness. There are some people who are coming here, who are left and gone, and some people are coming steadily now, and some may be in the future also. Or some people may survive and keep coming regularly and ultimately achieve success. So in this way, we can see in the part of yoga, some people just get disheartened after some time, thinking that how long will I have to go on like this? Because yoga implies sense control and mind control, is it not? Immediately. So how long will I have to control my mind and senses? How long will I have to go? When will I see the result? So they become impatient. So naturally, the person who is not patient will not achieve that end result. One has to be patient like a small child. He can understand about pregnancy when you foster your children. In the same way, in the beginning stages of yoga, we have to just hear the principles and be ready to follow them, thankfully. And be very patient for the result to come. That is right from infancy. Success is sure for the rigorous practitioner. Success is sure for the rigorous practitioner. One who is very vigilant in his practice does not deviate at any time, and even in the case of time, as it is said. He will certainly achieve success in the yoga. That one should have sufficient faith. In fact, when the yogi advances in the spiritual path, he gradually comes to a point where he understands that now I am becoming purified, that it may take me even lifetimes to purify. So it even goes beyond one's life. One place, even if I don't achieve perfection in this life, I am ready to wait for a million lives, or 100 lives, or even in another few lifetimes. One is ready for that. This is the actual meaning of determination. Determination is not a very cheap thing. Prabhupada gives the example here of the story of Sparrow. The Sparrow who is also raised in the ocean, she wanted to get the egg back. And she was so determined that she was taking drop by drop and going and putting it at a faraway place. So that all the ocean can be empty and then ultimately she can get her eggs back. Is it something that you can imagine about? Is it possible for a sparrow to dry up the ocean? In the same way, for all of us, tiny living entities, there is no possibility of overcoming Maya. Maya is like a vast ocean. In fact, we are living in the kingdom of Maya. And Maya is extremely powerful. And she is attacking from all directions by all possible ways. So there is hardly any possibility of escaping. So what is our hope? Our hope is that Krishna by his strength will give us protection. Krishna can save us from Maya. Just like the sparrow was saved, and the sparrow was given that the egg by Garuda. In the same way, Krishna will come and help us. Otherwise there is no possibility. So this determination is what Krishna is looking in us. The proper quote is Saha Nishya Dharya. So one has to have enthusiasm in spiritual life. And this enthusiasm has to be a persistent, prolonged enthusiasm, not just the initial faith. That is beginning when one is introduced to Krishna consciousness. One is very enthusiastic, coming to temple, chanting, meeting devotees, respecting devotees, everything. And after some time they forget it and go away after a year or two. So this enthusiasm should actually prolong year after year. Day after day, month after month, year after year, it should go on and on. One should have a persistent enthusiasm. Then, by such an enthusiasm, one can attract the attention of Krishna. One needs such an enthusiasm to attract Krishna's mercy. Then, when Krishna's mercy comes, one can easily overcome all the different ties and tribulations. So, when we say you have that determination, that naturally implies there is some temptation in spiritual life. There are going to be temptations. There is no doubt about that. Although you have heard several times, that our object of love and focus is Krishna. And when we talk of love, one should repose all one's energies, one's mind, one's senses, everything in Lord Krishna's service. That is actually the meaning of love. You know it. You can study the theory. But then when one is faced with temptation, one may succumb to the temptation. One may fall asleep. So a temptation is nothing but a prostitute who is coming and taking away taking us away from our real object of love, that is Krishna. ఎవరు అసతి లేరు నిత్యమ భాగవతం. సరిగ్గా ఈ భాగవతం ఇస్ కంటెంట్ దాట్ వన్ వన్ బిజర్ వన్ ఐ ఫర్ సేమ్ ఆబ్జెక్ట్ రేటెడ్ కృష్ణ దెన్ ద ఐస్ ఆర్ లైక్ ఫ్లూమ్ ఫర్ ద పీకాక్ దట్ ఫ్లూమ్ నో యూస్ ద పీకాక్ దట్ ఈ కెనాట్ సీ విత్ దట్ యస్ దట్ ఇస్ వన్ దట్ నాట్ హియర్ ద అక్షిత కథ ఆర్ ద లిరిక్స్ ఆఫ్ కృష్ణ దే ఆర్ కంపేర్డ్ టు నేను కోల్ విలే కథ ఉత్క్రమ విక్రమాంగి ఇట్ డోంట్ హియర్ ద లిరిక్స్ ఆఫ్ కృష్ణ హూ ఇస్ యాక్చువల్లీ పరాక్రమ విక్రమ ద వన్ హూ హాస్ పర్ఫార్మ్డ్ ఇట్ లైఫ్ ఇట్ డోంట్ హియర్ దట్ దెన్ ఇట్ ఇస్ కాల్డ్ ఎ స్నేక్ హోల్ ఆర్ ఎ టంగ్ దట్ స్పీక్స్ ఆల్ కైండ్స్ ఆఫ్ రబ్బిష్ విచ్ ఆర్ నాట్ కనెక్టెడ్ టు కృష్ణ దెన్ ద టంగ్ ఇస్ కాల్డ్ ఎ టంగ్ ఆఫ్ ఎ టాక్ It is constantly making a croaking sound, simply inviting the serpent. So when one by one speaks, useless speaks, one is simply attacking the attention of the call of serpent. Inevitable time. In this way, different examples are given. Or one is wearing a big mukut or a turban. That is considered to be a big bharan, with weight on the head. Simply weight on the head. Or a woman who is wearing beautiful golden bangles. A merchant may have a lot of money, he may buy golden bangles for his wife. That is saying this hand is simply like the hand of a shower in his body. If it is not used in Krishna service, if the hand is not used for dressing Krishna, bathing Krishna, offering food to Krishna, cooking for Krishna, then the center is in the hands of a shower. So these are very strong remarks that are given in Srimad Bhagavatam for one who does not engage his senses in the service. So when one went over the temptation, the naturally one achieved the message of the Lord. But when one succumbs to temptation, then one falls down to the divine gate of the Lord. So both happen. It depends on which path you take. There are going to be temptations in spiritual life. There is no doubt about that. Every one of us at our own level. Different people have different types of problems in Krishna consciousness. Either in the beginning or at the elevated stage. Any of us may face problems which are very petty in nature or advanced in nature, advanced problems. Just like in a first standard you have very simple subject. This may be now very easy for you. But when you go to 10th standard, it's more tougher. When you go to college, education is more tougher. So according to the capacity of the student, the test is given. Similarly, the test given by God are certainly not beyond our capacity to attend. They are certainly not beyond our capacity to overcome and succeed. So He gives us tests from time to time according to our capacity. And He expects us to win over those temptations. And then when you win over the temptation, then you succeed. Then you go one step higher, or you come one step lower. So you stay in the temptation. Like that. So Krishna says, Sarishchayena Yoktavyo Yogo Anirvinna Ketaka. One should not have any deviation in his chetana when one is performing yoga. And then He says, Sankalpa Prabhavanam Kamam Tattva Sarvan Acheshakata. Sankalpa Prabhavanam Kamam. There are so many desires coming from the mind. Everyone in this world is sitting on the chariot of the mind and wandering here and there, so many places. In fact, if our middle is, the mind is like a rolling motor, all the time performing work, like a prime mover. It is never peaceful. All the time it is thinking of something or the other. And it is wandering everywhere. Probably only at the time of sleep, he is keeping his mind calm. But sometimes people get dreams in the sleep also. Then even night is lost. So this is a mind gives a lot of problems. Sankalpa Prabhavan says, so where are these desires originating from? Already there are millions of desires stored in the mind because of the previous lifetime activity. And now also we are picking up so many new things and learning them in the mind. Like everything that you see with eyes, everything that you hear, they all have got a lot to do with the mind. That is why the one engages in frivolous talk or one engages in watching some periodic movies on the TV, or one engages in wasting his time, reading useless mundane literature. So these all have got a lot to do with the mind. They all actually go ultimately to the mind. Mind is a reservoir, and everything is stored in the mind. So here he is saying, the mind is generating so many desires, but he says, Tattva, one is to give up such desires. Sarvan, everything, all Sheshatara, he says. Don't even leave any bit of them. All cases that means completely uproot them. Don't just trim them from the top, lest they may come back again and attack you. Just like a weed that is trimmed from the top. If you just trim a weed from the top, the root remains. Again, it is going to sprout. And then he said, the metaphysic relationship comes between our true life, he says. So in the long conversation of Bhagavatam, there is a discussion between Nini and the Navarajendra. There is a beautiful verse there which explains how there are two kinds of people, one the jnani and one the karmi. He says, the jnanis, they are disgusted with the material nature, with the metaphysic engagements. They are completely disgusted with that. Who hates to perform metaphysic activities. But then it says, Pesh Anirvinna Chittana. One who is not yet disgusted with material world, one who is having a lot of desire to enjoy the material world. He says, Karma Yogosu, Kamina. He is filled with so many desires in his heart. So he is talking about the two categories of people. Two extremes, try to understand. One is the extreme where he is considering the material world to be disgusting. He just wants to get rid of it. In fact, he is so afraid of material forms that he doesn't want to take any more forms. He just wants to give up the body and become impersonal, merge into Brahman. That is his understanding. On the other hand, there is a karmi who is very much interested in the materialistic aspects of the world, who is completely absorbed in 24 hours a day. And then he says, Yadrishtaya matkatadev jatashaddhastu dhapuman manirvinno natisattu bhakti yogarakshati siddhama. Here he says, Yadrishtaya matkatadu. If in anyone's heart a spontaneous attraction arises to hear my pastimes, activities, and all such things, if anyone's heart such thing, such a desire is arising, that is Shraddhastu Yankumar. That Shraddha comes in one's heart. Shraddha means transcendental faith. We want to accept it. And such a person, he says, na atisatto. He is not attached like a middle bit. No, there is a no. He is not completely disgusted. Then he says, Bhakti Yoga is a good guy. Such a person can achieve perfection in the path of something. So if we can understand these two verses, then we can very easily appreciate what is actual meaning of detachment. Then we can become free from all the several desires that arise in our mind. If one tries to develop a disgust with the material world, one considers everything abominable. One is averse to the things of the world. That is considered to be only the other side of attachment. As we once said earlier, attachment and aversion are two sides of the same coin. The two sides of the same coin. So, that is the reason why we find sometimes the jnani who has apparently developed their detachment from the material world and is completely averse to the material world. He leaves everything and goes to nowhere. But then you see him returning back to the material world, again, engaging in the same old activity. And it is needless to say, he is always engaged in materialistic activity. But here he is saying, that being so too austere or too sensual, both will not help you to control the mind. If you are too sensual, you will go practically crazy, as Krishna says. It is like pouring ghee into fire. If you pour more and more ghee into fire, what do you expect to happen? The fire is only going to grow bigger and bigger. So the karma or the lux is actually the crown desire amongst all the desires in the heart of every living being. So if one is very, very lusty, if one is carried away by the desire of the mind, then there is no possibility of controlling the mind. Too sensuous. And if one is too austere, then it goes to the other extreme, this way. So Prabhupada explains beautifully the purport that one has learned to become a bhakta. For a bhakta, he says, neither thing now, not the sattva, he says. Is neither considering the world to be disgusting, he doesn't develop an aversion to the world. Rather, he knows that everything actually belongs to the Lord. Everything is engaged in the Lord's service. So he doesn't develop an aversion towards materialistic things. Because he knows that every material thing is actually created by Krishna. And they are not false. They are not unreal, but they are temporary. That is the difference between the two. The palms that we see around us, they are temporary, but they are not unreal. They exist. So he develops this understanding. For example, simple example, the materialist may be too engrossed in eating all kinds of respect, and he is becoming a servant of his son and Delhi and Jaila. Whereas on the other hand, a jnani, he gives up everything. He is the root, he is Kandamur, or he brings air and lives in the forest. So he tries to completely avoid by being aware to all the individuals. So as a devotee of the Lord, he offers everything to Krishna. So Prabhupada explains how sometimes one may bring the mind under control by limited satisfaction. Actually, I was very impressed when I read this purport. Because, however, I have heard that if you try to satisfy the senses in a limited way, materially, they are never going to be satisfied. Do you know that? Because Krishna himself says, if you treat the senses, they will only grow more and more wild. The senses are compared to serpents. So they are always eager to act unrestrictedly and lose it. So the more you try to give sense gratification to the senses, they are going to corrode them. So as Krishna says, this poor and unlearned thing, it's like throwing ghee into fire, they are never going to be satisfied. But here Prabhupada explains that if you give limited satisfaction to the senses by giving them things that are connected to Krishna, then they will become satisfied. Like for example, once in a while if one takes some bad mahaprasad, Prabhupada lets him to the Lord. I am not saying Prabhupada says, that is not bad. Once in a while, once you take a little bit mahaprasad, that comes from Radha Govind. Prabhupada writes in the Sarva in front of Ram Chandra. Then we want the verse number 11:20:19. 11:20:19. So, in one place, once in a while, when one is working with his God brother, or one is swimming, one is swimming, or one is sitting in casual talk with God brother, such a thing may keep one's mind cool, and gradually such a thing may help the mind to gain control. But at the same time, he gives a warning that excess of this thing may bring about a spiritual setback. That is bound to happen. If one excessively loosens the mind and loosens one's spiritual practices, then actually, then one falls down from spiritual life. Then that's a spiritual setback. So one should not develop aversion on one hand, and one should not develop attachment. One should be free from both. That is Krishna consciousness. This is actually the proper way for developing detachment. On the other hand, sometimes the very same mind that supports the violent view induces an intoxication, or violent view induces an illicit way. Can one be a little relaxed in this? One should definitely not relax this way. In fact, one should learn to tolerate them as Krishna says, Tam Pratikshastra. As far as mind dictates you to go in the wrong direction, one has to tolerate the urges of the mind. One should say a big no to the mind. One should tolerate. But as long as something is within the purview of Krishna conscious limits, one is, any desire of the mind is within the regulative principles, one can take it in a limited way. As proper this, limited satisfaction. Then one can, one's mind can become gradually satisfied. So this is the way one can actually conquer the desire of the heart. Because who is that about who does not want to eat palatable food? Everyone wants to eat palatable food. So Prabhupada, even when he went to the village, he used to cook varieties of items and offer it to Krishna and give it to the people. Because by eating such foods, one becomes purified at heart. But one eats excessively, that means one doesn't eat as prasad. One just eats it as a very nice eater. Then actually one becomes a slave of his senses in this way. So when we talk of karma, the karma actually arises from our lack. And jnana, that arises from indifference. Whereas bhakti, it arises from complete faith in the devotional service of the Lord. So, one should not become a karmi, simply fulfilling one's lustful propensities. One should not become a jnani, simply being indifferent from the material world, only to fall back again to some gratification. But one should become a bhakta, one who has developed unflinching faith in the devotional service of the Supreme Lord. So how can one develop that faith? Where can the faith come from? It is said, Tasmat Vena Pipahena Krishna Vyachaya. The song can be said. Somehow or other one should strike a relationship with Krishna. Somehow or other one should think of Krishna in one's mind. And Krishna himself says that, Param Drishwa Nivartate. Unless you develop a higher faith, you cannot give up the loyal one. It is impossible to not succumb to the temptations and calls of the devilish mind. Because evil deeds have their origin in evil thoughts. And evil thoughts... ඒක තාක්ෂා ඉරවිදවරු අසාමේ වන්දකින් දෙරම හය තේසනවායි. දැක්කේ මෙන්න කියලා යාමත බැරි සායි මේ ටයිම් වල. ඉතින් එනවා. එතකල් ඉරට ටයිම් වල එහෙමද? තාපති වෙනි ග්‍රෝ යුල් සේ ප්‍රොබලි ඉද ටයිම් වල සංසයත් ආරම කරගෙන ඉඳලා. අනේ මෙනි ගොඩ කම්පැනි තාපති ව්‍යවස්ථා ක්ලයිම් එක කම්පියුටර් එකෙන් කරලා තියෙනවා. අනේ විදම ෆෑමිලි මැනේජර් රෙස්පොන්සිබිලිටීස් then you have children, then you have wife, then you have manager responsibilities, and so many things to do like that. So when you accept a higher and higher position in life, actually, you believe the Lord things automatically. The mother may not now come and teach you how to give up playing with the boy. You don't have to even told about it, because you have a higher engagement. In the same way, you want some of the business's mind on Krishna. Then it is possible for one to conquer over all the desires of the mind. Otherwise, it is impossible. There is no possible to control the mind. Many people try to control the mind by various ways. We have never explained the purpose, the sort of uttaha and the dhairya. The dhairya also means determination. Dhairya has two meanings. One is, you must have heard the Sanskrit of Upadeshamrita, Vasyavegam, Manasaregam, Kravaregam, Vishwaregam, Udaregam, Sapsaregam. Ayurvedic of the sun, Ayurvedic of the belly, Ayurvedic of the genitals, and anger, and demands of the mind, what is this one? Vasyavegam, Manasaregam, Kravaregam. Now it is six yamas. So the six areas, if one has conquered all of them, then it is said that he has achieved the stage of dhairya. Then he has achieved the stage of dhairya. So there is nishchita bhajana kriya and anishchita bhajana kriya. Anishchita bhajana kriya means prior one has not achieved his determination. And nishchita bhajana kriya means one has achieved the firm determination. So between these two stages there is an intense struggle going on in the mind of everyone. So, one has to counter the six ideas. I will not talk about it because we already heard about it earlier. But still, we can talk of one of the points. One of the things I felt was the urge to become angry. Sita can be understood naturally. The other things we have heard also, the reason that I was reading a section from Avanti Brahman. It was very appealing to see how Avanti Brahman tolerated the earth to speak, and he didn't even have any evil thoughts in the mind, nor did he do exactly any action that would damage his spiritual life. He became very tolerant. So to say briefly, Avanti Brahman was a very rich man who was a miserly person. Later on, due to the will of providence, he was defeated, and he was thrown out of the house by the relatives and friends. And now he was in the street, and later on he took the role of a mendicant. He became a mendicant. At one time, some people who were rowdies and rascals, they were roaming in the street. They saw this mendicant and they took away his sannyas rod. They took away his kamandalu. He was using his kamandalu as a begging pot. So they took away that. They took away his jewel chain and they took away even his tattered clothes that was putting on his body. They even took away that. They took away his beads that was kept on his sandals. So in this way, they took away everything. And then they were all ridiculing him and laughing at him. And sometimes they would pretend as if they are giving it all back to him. And then you know, they would throw his hand to receive it, but then they take it away and they would laugh at him and call many ill names upon him. And when he would be sitting near the bank of the river to eat some food that came in charity, immediately somebody would, one of his disciples would come and would offer, he would stop using him there. And they would spit on his head. In this way they behaved in such a bad way. Not only that, they ridiculed him, some of them even shouted at him. They said, you are a hypocrite. You are just making a show of being a sadhu. So you are actually a hypocrite. Because the sadhu people have thrown you away, you are not getting anything to eat. You are taking the role of a sadhu. But actually, Avanti Brahmana was a very detached and very pure-hearted man. He had active detachment when he was thrown out of the house. He was actually a real sadhu. But he tolerated his anger in his mind. He didn't speak even a single word. He didn't beat anyone in return. He just tolerated everything. And then he said to himself, all the troubles that are coming from my mind and from my own body and from the other living entities and the will of providence is all arranged by the Supreme God. Just purify me. That's why when you throw gold in fire, the gold will become more pure. Is it not? When you throw gold in fire, all the impurities go away அந்த ரியல் பியூர் கோல் காம்பவுண்ட் இட் ஒன்லி கிவ்ஸ் எமோஷனல் the more you have it, the more smell it gives. Similarly, one has understood this aspect that everything comes from the Lord. Then he will never leave the shelter of God. So he said to himself, everything is actually arranged by God. Lord's mercy. And then he quoted a very famous verse. Etatyatayaparatmanishtham adhyatitapurvatamayimaharshidhi aham tarishyamidurantaparam He said, Vedanta Astaya Parakmanishtam. I will take Chakra of that Parakma, the Supreme Lord, completely at this point of time. Atyajitam Purvatamai Maharshi. And this is not a new path that I am taking. This has been followed by all the great previous acharyas. Aham Tarishyanta Garanta Param. I will talk about this ocean of missions. Simply by taking Chakra of Lord Mukunda, he said. Aham Tarishyanta Mukunda Param. By taking Chakra of Lord Mukunda. சமா முக்குண்டாவே நிஷேவ் இன்டெலிஜென்ஸ் The attachment to the sense of it will easily quickly cross over our intelligence and easily give vent to anger. One can see that as Krishna says, Jhāyata Ujjāna Kuntana, Sangatya Shita Jhāyata, Sangatya Jhāyata Kama, Kama, Kola Adhijāyata. Immediately, the attachment is there and immediately the anger will come. No one can conquer anger unless one has become a devotee of the Lord. So, in this way, Avanti Brahmana conquered his anger and attacked the sense of the Lord. This verse is so wonderful. That it was later on carried to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and all the sannyasis up to date, they don't chant this particular word. So this stage of Parakrama Nishtha was achieved by many great folks like Sanat Sanatan, the renowned order, and great things like Janaka Maharaj, the Grahastha order. So whether we are in Grahastha order or Sannyasa order, one has to achieve this stage of Parakrama Nishtha. At this point, one will get this Kanishtha Yena Yoktavyo, one will get this determination. And that one has this kind of Nishtha from Right in the Supreme Lord. One cannot achieve that determination. So the mind is constantly working, bringing forth so many material desires. You can see that how one after other the desires are coming and going in the heart. There is no end to that. So one, if one wants to fix up one's mind, then one has to conquer the six horizons. That is one of the meaning of this word dhairya. And dhairya also means patience. Patience means one is ready to wait for any long period of time. And one is seeking the mercy of the Lord. That's why we see the Tapara Pakshi, it will never drink any water except for the Swati Dhani water. So it is very, very patient. Not only is it patient to wait for the water, although it is looking at the sky for this water, even if there is a thunderbolt in the sky, or if there is a lightning, he is already solved the suffering. At last, he waits for the drop of water that comes from the sky. He never looks down for the water that is already in the ocean. It doesn't look down for them. What is the analogy here? Similarly, a devotee of Krishna behaves in such a way that no matter whatever obstacles come in his life, he is ready to wait for Krishna's mercy. Even if Krishna gives a thunderbolt, he is ready to accept in his life. And he doesn't turn to sanctification, which is abundantly available in the world. The whole world is running after sanctification, simply money making. People are running after that. But a devotee is completely focused in Krishna's feet. So that is the kind of determination that is being spoken of here. And he says, Manasaivendriya Krama Viniyamya Samantataha. One should control, here he is writing, all visions, this is born of mental circulation, and thus control all the senses on all sides by the mind. One should control all the senses on all sides by the mind. What does that mean? Because every sense object is, every sense, is giving input to the mind. Eyes are giving input. While walking in the road, you just see a very dark poster, so the eyes are given a bad input to the mind. Or you hear some music, very abominable music, then that is the input to the mind through the ears. Similarly to the tongue, to the, every one of the senses you can give input to the mind. So the ahara for every one of the senses has to be very carefully chosen. ఆహారం లేదని నేను చూడు అన్ని పదం మావు ఆహారం ఏంటి మన పెట్టి ఆహార పద ఐదు ఆహారం పెట్టి ఎవరి మన పంచి వెరీ క్యాప్లెస్ వస్తుంది దయాలి అన్ఫార్చునేట్లీ దయాలి లెవింగ్ ఇన్ అబాయ్ గోరింగ్ ఇస్ సచ్ డేంజరస్ పార్ట్ ఆఫ్ ది స్టడీ సచ్ డేంజరస్ పార్ట్ ఆఫ్ ది సెక్షన్ టేకింగ్ అస్ ఇంటూ లోయర్ నైట్ ఇస్ ఆల్వేస్ సో వన్ హ్యాస్ టు బి వెరీ క్యాప్టర్ అయితే ఈ సెయింగ్ వాంట్ ఇస్ కంట్రోల్ మైండ్ ఫ్రమ్ ఆల్ టైమ్ ఈ రిమంబర్ ది రెడీ సెకండ్ క్యాప్టర్ ఈ సెడ్ that there's a word that he says, even the mind focuses on one of the senses, one of the roving senses, then it is a meticulous image. It is exactly like your boat having a hole. You may say a small hole. How does it matter? It's a tiny hole. And slowly but surely the boat is going to completely submerge the water. So if you allow your mind even to focus on one of the roving senses, like Vishwamitra allowed his mind to focus on one of his roving ears, his ears are roaming. And he heard the sound and he fell down. Similarly, he saw the money. He allowed his eyes are the roaming sense for him. So he focused his mind on the eyes and meditate fell down like that. So one has to withdraw all the senses. So the near withdrawal by negating all the senses just is useless. That will never help. Rather, one should give a positive engagement to the senses. As I was telling you, eyes, if they are not used in Krishna service, it is a tool for which we can also learn to. Once you see the beauty of Krishna, then that is actually the ahara of the eyes. The ahara of the ears is always hear the glories of Krishna passing to the devotees. Similarly, ahara for the nose is to know the flower of the comfort of Krishna. Ahara for the tongue is only prasad, not taking anything other than prasadam. Similarly, ahara for the hands and legs and the working senses is engaged in the last service. So in this way, one can systematically compare all the senses. It is very much possible. That is why he says, Dasa Veda, Father Veda, what is Panchagras? He says, you know what is the Panchagras? He says, Panchagras means the ahara for my five senses. It's the dust of the lotus feet of a Vaishnava. For my five senses, every one of the senses, they want ahara. Every one of them is having a craving. Every one of us can easily observe that there is a craving in our senses for enjoyment. And we can easily supplement this craving by giving them engagement. So he is saying the rest of the lotus feet of Vaishnava is my food for every one of my senses. That means seeing the body of Vaishnava, serving his lotus feet, taking the rest and doing abhishek on the body. He says like that, he thinks like that. That's why he says, Kandar Charanachari Bhakta Sanyava. So once the author is living in the assembly, one should live in the assembly of devotees. One should never live alone. The devotee should live in the assembly of devotees and usually help one another, enthuse one another. To remind everyone of Krishna. Vaitrama can become broken so that is Krishna. But especially the mind, if it is fixed on Krishna, then the senses also easily start cooperating with the mind. That is why the first thing he says is Parai Manana Krishna Padaravindu. First thing we should endeavor to focus his mind on Krishna repeatedly. So we are chanting of Hare Krishna, every day we are endeavoring for the same thing, that we want to focus his mind on Krishna completely. The thing is, Tatmat Kena Upayana, he says, somehow or other, Manakrishna Niveshi. And the sloka previous to that he says, Gopya Kamatma, Daya Kamsa. He is telling different people how the gopis out of intense love for Krishna, how Kamsa out of intense fear for Krishna, and how Shishupala out of intense envy for Krishna, and how the Vishnis out of their familial affection for Krishna, and how the Pandavas out of their affection and love for Krishna. And how Narada out of devotional service for Krishna always was remembering Krishna in their mind. So the next one is this, Patamopina Dhanasya Panchanam Purusham Prati. So there are very great kings like Vena, but they were not engaged in thinking of Krishna in one of these five ways which I earlier mentioned. So they couldn't think of Krishna, unfortunately, because of that they never achieved perfection in their life. So if we don't think of Krishna, we will also lose the opportunity. So we should also learn to systematically engage your mind in thinking of Krishna. So there are many ways to do that. To come to temple regularly and take dakshina to deities. To always come in front of the Lord once, twice, thrice or four times a day. As many times as possible. Come in front of the deities and open one's heart and enter one's fallen condition to the Lord. And beg for Lord's mercy. Don't really desire monotonous exercise. By coming and doing like that, one can see a great transformation of heart. Instead of coming in front of the Lord, offering him obeisances, and then in front of him exactly like a child. One can very easily see that one's heart transform gradually. So one can open one's heart a lot like that. That is one way. Similarly, while chanting, every time when we see that mind is going here and there, we can get back the mind and we can try to repent for the deviation of the mind. Yoga anirvinna chetana. He says, don't deviate, but my mind is deviating. What should we do? We should pray to the Lord, please help me. Please help me. I was reading some shlokas later after this Bhagavatam shloka. A very interesting point is mentioned there. Prabhupada writes that a jnani, in his practice sometimes, may lose his patience. Because already he has developed a disgust towards the material thing. And if he doesn't succeed to see in his endeavor, he may develop a disgust towards those things. That is a bhakta. He should never develop a disgust that I am not able to improve in my spiritual life. Actually, all of us are trying to improve in our spiritual life. Sometimes you see the rent chant, Sri Krishna, Sri Krishna, Sri Rama, 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 they are chanting. This is crazy. Nobody gets here. And depending on how big is your inflated ego, that much you feel pain inside. You feel a burning sensation or feel a pinching sensation or whatever it is. Depending on how much ego you have. And somebody gets here and chanting. Why do you feel bad? Because somebody has detected sleeping. So it feels very, very painful to the heart. If you are too much affected in the heart, then you may even start shouting at the person. Who said I'm sleeping? They do like that. Some people may not shout, but they may shout in the mind. They may not shout outside like that. So we sometimes feel like that. But sometimes even after you are being repeatedly woken up, one time, two times, three times, four times, you feel sleepy. And then one may develop this disgust in the heart. What is this? Hare Krishna chanting. Hell with it. I'm bored with it. Damn it. You feel like that. But for Acharya Vishnu, that one should not feel the disgust. Never lose patience. In the same way, not only in chanting Hare Krishna, in many other ways you can see, we are not able to overcome anger. Although we may talk about it a lot, sometimes we become angry. Similarly, we become lusty. Similarly, we become proud. And how many times should we talk about them? These anarthas are repeatedly coming. And they are coming out from our hearts, repeatedly disturbing us, agitating our mind. So one may, over a period of time, think, what is this? I have tried for so long, and nothing is working out. Probably Krishna consciousness doesn't work. Some may come to a wrong conclusion like that. So, it is said that a devotee should never develop this disgust. On the contrary, when one is unable to conquer this sensual nature,
And he looked at us and he looked at us. Thank you.